Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. The European election saw an increase in support for right-wing parties which are sceptical about aspects of the EU's Green Deal, a flagship policy of the last five-year mandate. Faced with a cost-of-living crisis, a lot of voters have been asking whether they can afford to make the big changes that are being asked of them in the name of EU energy independence. And as a consequence of that, the European Greens lost a third of their seats in the June election. So how do they plan to rebuild? And what happens now to the EU's climate ambitions? We're going to put those questions to Bas Eickhout, a Dutch Green MEP who's just been chosen as co-president of the group of the Greens in the European Parliament, along with Germany's Thierry Reintke. Bas Eickhout, thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me.
So how did your group's post-mortem go? politically, of course, not literally, after result.
No, it was, of course, if you look at the seats, it was, of course, a disappointing result. But I do think if you then go a bit deeper into the analysis of the results, then you mainly see it were losses in France and Germany. We did very well in Scandinavia. The Danish Greens were the biggest party in Denmark. We have increased our strength in the East, so first time ever MEPs elected in Croatia, in Slovenia, in Lithuania, Latvia. And also in the South, for example, for the first time now, we have directly elected Italian Greens, and we even have four Italian Green members of European Parliament. So in that sense, I do think what we should learn about this is what really happened, I would almost say, in the founding fathers of the European Union. There you really see the big increase of the far right and indeed a blow to the Greens. But we do see that our message is really getting more, you know, visible and appreciated in the rest of Europe. So it's a bit of a nuanced picture that you have to look at, I think.
Do you think you were seen as a single-issue party somehow on climate? And I know you've said also that you think the Greens became seen as kind of out-of-touch elitists, but there's also the question of being seen as just a party of the climate, which is not enough to have broader appeal.
I don't think people see us as a one-issue party, but it is true that why did we do it so well in 2019? Those were so clearly climate elections. And that, of course, also led to the best result ever. I mean, and especially in Germany, we got 20.5%. That's we knew we're not gonna repeat that success of 2019. I do think what we see is that we are very much kind of related to the climate issue. So if climate is high on the agenda, we will profit from that almost automatically. I think what we now have seen in these elections that climate is still a concern of people, but they do want to know more the economic part of it, and they also are a bit more concerned about the security issue. So this is an assignment of the Greens also to make clear that the climate agenda is not just an environmental agenda. And there, the conclusion is that that message, we have not succeeded in each country to bring that across.
So do you think you're going to be part of a broadly centrist coalition now here in the Parliament?
Well, I do think that what we have also seen is there where we are doing it well is where we are also more cooperating with other progressives, basically. So I do think that in Europe, the progressive forces need to work more together. And I think that is, I think, an important message. For example, in the Netherlands, we even did it in a very intimate way. We even had one list, the Social Democrats and the Greens. But we resulted in being the number one in the Netherlands as well. So there you do see that I do think progressive politics is still a message that is resonating. But I do think that people need to see that kind of climate concerns really go hand in hand with social concerns, and that can be, you know, the same part of our solution.
So which parts of the Green Deal do you think are most at risk from your perspective now with this rightward shift in the European Parliament?
It depends a bit on who you ask, right? I mean, there are some far-right parties who really want to abolish entirely the Green Deal. Let me be very clear, because you had a question also on will you be part of a broader majority. We have been very clear in our messaging that if we look now at the challenges of Europe, looking at international situation of Europe in vis-a-vis Russia, but also American elections coming up, who knows Trump, the challenges for Europe are too big to play politics. So we do see that we need a stable majority at the European level because the challenges are too big to do a bit of gambling. However, for us, it's also very clear if we will be part of that majority, we will not accept backtracking on the Green Deal. The Green Deal, how it has been put forward, I know some people would like to pick and choose and get some elements out. That is not our intention. We need to build upon the Green Deal.
Any specific red lines, which if they're crossed, you won't support a vote?
No, we keep it in a general level because, I mean, in negotiations, as soon as you start becoming very specific on red lines, then some people who want you out immediately start pushing on that specific red line. So if you don't mind, I will not get too very concrete, but in general,
sure. You're
no
staying a little bit flexible.
Yes, because that's negotiations you have to. If you say, we want to go into negotiations, but I'm not flexible, then it's not a negotiation. So we can be flexible, but it's very clear. We do not accept backtracking on the Green Deal.
And speaking of a centrist coalition, what is your approach going to be to Ursula von der Leyen? What would it take for your group to support her in a confirmation hearing at the European Parliament?
No, I think that if you listen now to Ursula von der Leyen, the current president and who knows future president, then quite some priorities that she's mentioning, I do think are priorities that also get close to what we think is needed. So talking about security, talking about competitiveness, well, In our vision, if we look at the future of European industry, it needs to be part of the Green Deal. And I do think that the Green Deal was very good in putting kind of a legislative framework, but was not so good in an investment agenda. And here I do think if you look at China, if you look at the United States, the green race is full on. So now some people say the Green Deal is the problem of our competitiveness. Well, I would say it's the opposite. It's kind of the lack of now putting an investment agenda on top of the Green Deal. That's the problem of our European industry.
And that's where you're going to run into the battle between frugal members of the EU, I suppose, and those that are willing to spend more money. I mean, what do you think the Dutch government is going to say about a joint budget for certain green policies, for example?
Well, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the incoming new government of the Netherlands. So they are very defensive kind of, you know, we don't want, the only thing we want from Europe is more space to destroy nature. We want an opt-out on migration.
But and there's a technocrat who's an incoming prime minister. Is that really his approach to things?
Well, until now, he has said, I will follow the agreement of the four political parties. So he seems to more be a kind of a civil servant still that is now the executing office of this deal. And then he needs to go to Brussels with an impossible message because it's basically, Brussels, you need to give us everything. Oh, and by the way, we're not going to give you money. That's not going to work. So I think the Dutch government, this new Dutch incoming government, will have to learn how Brussels works. And I do think that it's in the interest of the Netherlands. I mean, we have a pretty energy-intensive industry, a big energy-intensive industry in the Netherlands. If we do not get a European investment programme, we will see national investment programmes. Mm. And then the Dutch will lose from the Germans. So then the Rotterdam harbour will lose from the Hamburg harbour. I don't think that's in the Dutch interest either. So I'm sure they can be convinced that there needs to be a European investment programme. And then, of course, there will be politics around it. But I do think the future of the European industry can only be served with a Green Deal agenda, because that's the long-term security and clarity for our industry, together with an investment programme that really delivers on it.
In the Netherlands, of course, you also had a very prominent farmers' movement. And do you expect now in this next mandate that there will be more measures that are friendly to farmers that could, as some, for example, green campaigners have said, might dilute the next set of climate ambitions, for example, the 2040 target, which is going to be discussed soon, and the European Commission has proposed a 90% cut in emissions. But with the current climate surrounding farmers' protests and so on, that's not very realistic, is it, do you think?
Well, I do think that, indeed, if you now look at the current mood, and certainly in some of the countries that almost take the orders of the agriculture sector, of course, it's going to be difficult. And for sure, for the next commission, the agriculture debate is going to be a difficult one. But I think two things that we need to bear in mind. First of all, we will have a reform of the European agriculture policies anyhow. I mean, that will stop somewhere in the coming years. So we need to have that debate, whether people like it or not. The debate on new agriculture policies from the European level will be on the table. Secondly, I think also here we can, of course, all look on where we are divided, but I think where we are united is that we are all in agreement that currently the farmers don't get a proper living out of their agriculture practices, and that needs to change.
Yeah.
And I think this has been a problem of right-wing governments, that they always talked about farmers, but were never doing anything about the market construction that is benefiting the supermarkets and not the farmers.
And
that needs to change.
Of course, let's not forget also farmers are saying we account for around 10% of CO2 emissions, so why is everybody picking on us? We're not the most polluting industry.
Yeah, but the point is, of course, that everyone signed up to climate neutrality. All the heads of state signed up to climate neutrality. Well, if you go to climate neutrality, each sector needs to do something, even if you're around 10%. So also the agriculture sector needs to do something. And I think the coming years, climate adaptation will become a big issue. The climate extremes are hitting the European continent, and the agriculture sector is the first victim of that. So I think, no matter what, looking at all these circumstances, we will have a debate about the future of European agriculture. And there, let's be at the table. Let's look for where we can find each other instead of what you usually do in the campaign, find the topics where you do not agree with each other.
We'll wrap it up there. Thank you so much for being my guest, Bas Eickhout, co-president of the Group of the Greens in the European Parliament. That's all for this part of Talking Europe, but I'll be back with my panel of MEPs talking about the relationship between Britain and Europe 8 years after the Brexit referendum.